John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And I had a moment there.
Yeah, you forgot your name for a second there, didn't you? So remember the name of the podcast?
That's about the third time that's happened. Yeah. You're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, yes, you are.
Smoothly done.
Smear.
So this is our second go back. Is this season three?
I think so, yes, because we had two seasons, then there was kind of 2.5, which was the Safe as Milk, May Ye Rest in Peace
indeed
season.
Yes.
And now this is the third proper, I think. The reboot.
The reboot, yes. Yeah, season three. It's like seasons one and two, but season three.
Yeah. It's like we've assembled, we've had our Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
But now it's time for our Infinity War!
That's topical.
Isn't it?
That's very topical.
At the moment, yeah. When this goes out, it probably won't be.
Probably
on fucking Netflix by that point.
So, in a similar vein, topical now, but probably not topical by the time this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I was sent by my friend Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. Do you listen to this podcast? Are you Gary? No. No, you're not, are you?
She sent me this New Zealand baby name ban list updated.
Excellent.
Right. Just to set the scene.
I know there are some countries who have very specific things. I know that there are some countries where there's only certain names you're allowed to use.
Right.
I think Iceland might be one. Maybe Germany as well, actually.
Really?
Yeah. To basically, almost to avoid people putting in ridiculous fucking names.
Yes.
So it doesn't surprise me that much that there are countries who have a similar policy, but rather than saying you can only use these, they're saying you cannot use these.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to find out what these are.
So New Zealand. Officials working for the country's Births, Deaths and Marriages Department have updated their list of rejected names, and it includes some shockers.
Chockers?
Two New Zealanders recently wanted to register their child's birth with a backslash separating two names, but were told it would contravene strict rules on what monikers are considered acceptable.
Huh.
Other names rejected include standalone letters that appear to be initials but do not stand for anything. AJ, MC, VI, LB and CJ were all turned down.
Interesting.
A spokesperson for New Zealand's Department of Internal Affairs told Sky News, since 1995, the Births, Deaths and Marriages and Relationships Registration Act has provided a set of rules around acceptable names for New Zealanders. A name or combination of names should not cause offence, be unreasonably long or resemble an official title or rank.
How long is unreasonably?
I don't know. Six names? Before you even get to the surname?
Is it just kind of multiple names, or is it just one name that's really like about 20 syllables?
Yeah.
Because I'd love that.
I'd like to name my child after a place in Wales.
Can we call you Clanfire? No. You will say my entire name.
Other wacky names that people have tried to register in the past include Lucifer and Mafia No Fear.
Brilliant. I don't want to be too judgmental of people I've never met, but I'm going to.
Oh.
But I'm going to do it quietly.
Yes.
Right now.
You're doing it now.
I am.
Nice. The list of 77 names reveals one child was set to be called Anal before the Department of Internal Affairs vetoed the proposal, whilst another narrowly avoided being dubbed full stop.
What?
Yeah. One child was going to be called a full stop.
Well, not the name full stop, but just a
full stop.
Just the punctuation point, the full
yeah
period, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. But you don't want to call your kid that.
No.
No.
I don't know about it, I know in America they call it a period, not a full stop.
Yes.
But do they do that in New Zealand? Because
that's a good question.
Would the child have been called period? What's your name? Period. How is that spelt? Like that.
As it sounds.
As it sounds. God, God. Colon would probably be worse.
Colon would be issue. This does remind me that there was a shop in Leek in Staffordshire, which is called Period Features.
I've seen Period Features.
We both didn't pass it, and that's when we started laughing about it.
It's hard to not chuckle at Period Features.
It's a nickname. It does sound like a nickname.
Mm. And then has frequent bloody noses, maybe. All right, Period Features.
In 2008, New Zealand's family court ordered that a 9-year-old girl whose parents had called her Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii...
Is that hyphenated?
Nope. ...should have her name changed because it was embarrassing and makes a fool of the child.
You think?
Well, at the same at the time...
Let's double back here. So yeah. It's not hyphenated. Is that just multiple names just piled up? Or just all one big word? Tallulah is a hula from Hawaii.
It's
with no spaces.
No. It's got spaces. So it is basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 6 names.
Wow.
I wonder what the surname was. Smith.
Jones. Clanfire. Tallulah is a hula from Hawaii. Jones.
At the time. Judge Rob Murfitt criticised parents who gave their children bizarre names, citing examples such as Number 16 Bus Shelter, Midnight Chardonnay...
Presumably where they were conceived.
Yeah. Midnight Chardonnay and twins called Benson and Hedges. Oh, man. So that's the thing.
Wow. Have you ever wondered? I mean, I know that neither one of us is particularly enamoured with the idea of having progeny.
Yes.
But have you ever stopped and thought, what would you name a child if you had one?
If I had a child incoming and was tasked with naming
That's
it.
How children are made, John.
Indeed. Oh, yes.
Carry on.
Very good, very good.
It's a good joke.
I always thought I would probably call a child Finn.
Finn?
Yes.
Like Neil Finn?
Like Neil Finn.
Ah.
Although it...
I like Finn from Adventure Time.
Or Star Wars.
Oh, that one, yeah.
So there are now... Since I thought that would be a nice name for a child, there are now multiple Finns that I could choose from.
That's true. Mm. I know that my wife and I... neither one of us is particularly keen on the idea of having kids, but we have had the conversation before. And it seems that most of ours just come from video games because we are nerds.
So it's Snake.
That would be brilliant. If he's a naughty boy. Yeah. Snake! I think Jacob Oren was one. Oren being a character from Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
And Alessa was one that we were seriously considering for a while.
Yeah.
Alessa being from Silent Hill.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the name Alessa.
But also faintly worrying.
Yeah. We want our child to be faintly worrying. To keep up the McGeekin tradition.
You just imagine the hospital suddenly becomes enshrouded in fog.
Yes.
And human skin.
She's here. But I think Alessa Rose was one thing we were... Which I think sounds quite pretty, personally.
It does.
But then again, I also think chlamydia is a lovely name for a girl. It's just a shame about the connotations.
It is. Yeah. Oh, man. Like my son, Crabs.
Crabs. Syphilis. Clanfire Jones.
Finn Gonorrhea McLeod.
John?
Yes.
I think it's time to sting.
It is, certainly.
Which is only appropriate.
So.
Can I talk about my beer?
We can talk about your beer.
You're still on the Raspberry Tipple, I believe.
I'm still Raspberry Tippling.
Which is still delightful. I am on another one by Mad Hatter Brewery, because there was a shelf of them at one of our favourite bottle repositories, Hot Water Cellar, in Newcastle. across the way from Bridge Street Ale House.
Indeed.
Which is another lovely beer place.
Lovely.
Both places we have enjoyed some beverages on this day.
Several miles away from Bottlecraft, which is also a wonderful place to have
also
beer.
Wonderful, yes, but just a little less handy for us at this time.
Indeed.
Mad Hatter Brewing Company, yes, there was a shelf of them, and yes. I looked at them, and they all sounded lovely.
Yeah.
This is Orange and Basil Sour IPA, and they are from Liverpool, because I looked it up, and yes, they are from Liverpool. Good. My instincts were correct. But yeah, sour, and I've not had a drink of any of it yet. Mm-hmm. I had a little sniff. John Oliver's nip. And we both agreed. It smells like a Jaffa cake eaten in a garden. Yeah. It's there's a definite Jaffery note and there's a definite garden note. Let's see how it rides. Lovely looking sound there. Oh! Ooh! Mmm! Ooh! Hello! Oh!
Does it work?
Mmm! Oh, that does the business. Oh, you little beast. Because it is sour.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've had Trolltunga by Buxton Brewery, which is another sour IPA.
Mm.
And that is sour. That is capital S sour.
Yeah.
This is much more of a lowercase sour. Mm-hmm. There's a Christmas to it, which is very much the orange zest kind of sharp tang to it. But then it all kind of washes through with a lovely cleanness. But then, right at the back, oh yeah, the basil shows through.
Really,
and it's a fresh. Have a little sip of that.
I would like to say, as the person out of the two of us who is wearing headphones, that glugging sound was picked up on them.
Marvelous.
I liked it.
Good.
Ooh.
Playful little thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you notice the basil, that's. Mm.
It comes right there on the aftertaste, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not savoury, it's just fresh.
Mm.
And it's all more of a olfactory...
It's like having an orange and then a bite of like some sort of seasoned dinner that's just got basil like sprinkled over it.
It's like an orange salad.
Yes. Well, there we go.
Oh, that's delightful. Well done. Well done, Mad Hatter Brewing Company of Liverpool.
That's marvellous work.
That's smashing, that is. I think I might actually like that even more than the Raspberry Tipple.
What? Let's just try the Raspberry Tipple again.
Go on. Remind yourself, because it is good.
I mean, I think I prefer the Raspberry Tipple.
Mm. But you're more of a stout guy, though. I'm more of an IPA guy.
Yeah. I'm stout, and I'm proud. We're doing lots of old classic comedy callbacks today. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So now it's time to move on to the episode proper.
Proper episoding.
So, audio phonography. Mm. Again, this format was kind of dreamt up and suggested by Gary Wilcox. And it's time we put it into practice. So last week we did mine. It's kind of like Desert Island Discs, only neither of us are Kirsty Young, and we'll be talking to people we've heard of.
Yay!
Bearing in mind, before we get to the important question number one, what was your musical upbringing? What did you sort of grow up listening to? What sticks out?
Well... the music that I always kind of springs to mind from my youth is my mum's.
Yeah.
Because she has always been, and remains to this day, a passionate Rolling Stones fan.
Okay.
Like, big time.
Yeah.
If it's Rolling Stones or Rolling Stones adjacent, she's there for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's had every single one of their albums, also the solo stuff.
Yeah.
You know, some of which isn't great. Sorry, Mum. So the
Mick Jagger and David Bowie.
Oh, the Dancing in the Streets.
Yeah.
See, the tune itself was all right, but the video was clearly great big piles of cocaine. I'm going to jump up these stairs. I'm going to dance on the spot. Yes. The whole thing was
we've mentioned,
an interesting decision.
We've mentioned this before, but the video that somebody edited together where they just took all the music out and replaced it with sound effects. So they're just grunting down a road and all you can hear is crickets.
It's absolutely hilarious.
It's marvellous, marvellous.
I love that. But yeah, yeah. My mum was very much a Rolling Stones. Over the years, I've branched her out into different things, and these days she does like a bit of Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
And Slipknot.
That's so unexpected.
There we go.
I was not expecting Slipknot to be in
A couple of years ago, she specifically requested a couple of Slipknot albums for Christmas. So
she did well not to wear the mask at your wedding.
Yeah, bless her. I think she probably would have gone with the gas mask, or maybe the diving helmet with the spikes in it.
Yes.
I think that would have been, rather than the clown mask.
Yeah.
I don't see it being a clown mask kind of one. But, but the gas mask thing, I think...
Very much her bag.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more formal.
You know?
Better lady.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, Rolling Stones for my mum. My dad likes a bit of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
He likes a bit of prog-leaning things, like Al Stewart. And Year of the Fucking Cat, mate. He loves Year of the Cat. There's actually a bit of a story that Laura likes to tell about one of the earlier times of having a meal with my parents, when we indulged quite heavily on the old vino. Mm-hmm. And my mum had gone to bed, so it was me and my dad and Laura. And Dad decided to get his Al Stewart vinyls out.
Yeah.
And he put on Year of the Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed the lyric booklet over to Laura to, like, this is a wonderful, this is an amazing song. Said, read the lyrics while you're listening. Read the lyrics. Just read the lyrics. The lyrics. Laura was reading the lyrics while I was listening. And then I think he put it on a couple of times after that as well. Read the lyrics. But yeah, my dad is very, when he likes something, he really likes it.
Yeah.
So he's a very passionate person about such things.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So yeah, he loves Al Stewart and Mike Oldfield.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of Tube of the Bells, but not just Tube of the Bells. He actually prefers Omadhon.
Okay.
Mm. And bits of jazz and I grew up in a nice little mixture of kind of rock and jazz and a little bit of reggae here and there.
Ooh.
Yeah, they liked a bit of Eddie Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever someone was coming around for dinner, Sade.
Wow.
A little bit of Sade.
I quite like Sade.
Obviously, I grew up with a bit of Sade, so there we go.
Well, obviously.
But she was very much the, having people around for dinner, should we put on the Sade? Yes, we should.
Yeah.
Spot on some Sade.
They're a very good dinner operator. Album. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go.
There was
always knew when people were coming around, like, smooth operators on, I'm in my pyjamas, I'm going to bed then. Because the adults are having dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, I think there was a piece of music which followed straight after Smooth Operator on the album. And it was a really awesome sort of jazz instrumental called Snakebite.
Mm.
And the bass lines that went...
This sounds very familiar, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I really love that piece of music. And I really wanted to use it for a spoof police thing that a friend of mine and I were going to record with a camcorder. And we wrote the script for it, but we never did it.
It's a disappointing ending to that story, John.
It's a non-ecdote.
Yes, it is a non-ecdote. Yeah. Exactly what it is.
So, so in light of your musical upbringing, question number one, what song was number one when you were born?
Yes, I have looked this up. I looked this up a little while ago, and I found myself getting two different answers. And the reason was because some sites record the one that was number one at the point just before you were born.
Yeah.
And some sites would record the number one that was the point just after you were born if there was a transition between two songs.
Right, okay.
Which there was for me.
Yes.
And I'm in a happy position of liking both songs for different reasons.
Oh, very good.
So just going out of public favour as I was born was Bright Eyes Burning Like Fire. Yes, the theme tune from everyone's favourite animated Rabbit Snuff film, which is
it's
a film that will last with me until the day I die, because it is horrifying.
Do you know, I haven't actually seen it.
You've not seen...
I've not seen The Watership.
Knowing you, John, don't.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And heartbreaking, but horrible. But because it was an animated film, kids around the country were watching.
Have all been traumatized by rabbit death.
Yes, lots and lots of horror. Not just death, but maiming and torture. And oh god, that film. But yeah, not lovely song.
Yeah,
lovely song. But the one that came, the one that was just entering into the public consciousness, about to become number one the week after I was born.
Yeah,
was Sunday Girl by Blondie.
Oh.
Which, as it happens, is one of my favourite Blondie songs. I love that song. And I actually bought it on 12-inch because it was because I'd been reliably assured that it was number one when I was born.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it had the original version on the A-side. And on the B-side, it had the French version. As well as on the B-side, it had the actual... Because it was recorded with a French verse. I think there's three versions. I think there's an all-English version. A version with the French verse... And one all in French.
Right.
And it was the all French version that was on this this 12-inch that I bought.
Nice.
Which was a cheeky little nugget. I rather like that.
Very good, very good. So, yeah, either and or of those.
Happy with both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. See, I think the three that were, like I said last week, two bordering on mine, one of which I'd have been fine with, one of which was like, fuck off. So we've got
the songs that were thrust upon me by the default of birth.
Yes. And then having grown up with a vast amount of Al Stewart and
Rolling Stones,
Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones and all sorts of stuff, what was the first single you ever bought?
Well, that was interesting. It all stems from a single I've actually given, so this one doesn't count.
Okay.
On a birthday, I think it might have been my 11th or 12th, probably more like my 12th birthday. Mm. So it was early on in high school. I was given a little red Walkman and a copy of Human Nature by Gary Clayle.
Right, that's not a song or person I've ever heard of.
You'd know the song if I played it for you.
Right.
Because it was sort of everywhere at the time.
Yeah.
But apparently I've been heard to be humming this song. I was not aware of humming this song. I knew what the song was when I listened to it in my brand new Walkman.
Okay.
But this kind of just put into my head the idea of, hey, walking around with music in your pocket is good.
Yeah.
So I thought, let's buy some more music. Let's get some more music.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little bit of pocket money. I think I was out with my dad. And I was in a shop, maybe Woolworths.
Yeah.
And there were some K-singles.
K-singles.
Yeah, that's right. Some K-singles. And I'm not sure how true this is, but my memories just comes up with like a little basket of them on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might have been in like old stock that we were trying to get rid of. And I picked out Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter by Iron Maiden.
Nice.
Because I was already an Iron Maiden at this point. If you listen to the first album episode, from my
Seventh Son,
first album I ever bought, that was just before I entered high school, so I'd have been in about 10. So Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter was very much already within my
on
brand.
The cards, yeah.
And the other one was Rock the Casbah by The Clash. So I couldn't tell you exactly when those were bought. I'd have to look up the release dates of both of those.
We're talking early
90s, I would say.
Yeah.
And they became frequent residents of my Walkman for a while. I also, around the similar time, picked up Innuendo by Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that song. I still do to this day. It fits in with the prog aspect of my dad's tastes. It's a very proggy tune.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cover Seven Son, very proggy album. I osmosed more of my dad's taste than I was aware of, so it was more obvious my mum's tastes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they had my dad's tastes were bubbling under.
Yeah.
And then I disappointed them both by getting into punk and electronica.
It's a funny thing now you mention it, actually, because I think about my parents' tastes and mine are very, my tastes are very much not like mum's and dad's, but there is elements of both in there, plus fuzz.
Yeah.
And I just very much went for the fuzz. My dad always looks disappointed when I activate a guitar pedal. Or use a capo. That's the other thing he jokes about not being terribly approving of. I'm fairly sure the microphones picked that noise up, whatever it was. So, would you say... What bands defined your teens as a result of your single purchasing?
As a result of my single purchase? Nothing happened as a result of my single purchasing. although I did go on to buy a lot of singles as a teenager.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of 7-inch singles, anything that looked interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because they were cheap.
Yeah.
And I wanted to expand my knowledge.
Mm.
But the one band that I think really defined my teens and whose albums and singles I bought religiously were the Wild Hearts.
Okay.
I was passionate fan of the Wild Hearts.
Yeah.
And this would have been late high school that I was really starting to get into the Wild Hearts. So around GCSE time.
Yeah.
And I got a copy. There was a voucher in either Kerrang or Raw or Metal Hammer, one of those rock magazines.
Yes.
£2 off a copy of PHUQ by the Wild Hearts at Virgin Megastore.
Yeah.
And I just so happened to be in a Virgin Megastore, and I had my vouchers, and I thought, I'm going to buy this. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
So I bought it. And then I showed it to the people I was with, and they said, the Wild Hearts, they're shit.
And whereupon you disenfranchised yourself from those people extensively.
Well, no, that would have been unfair. Whereupon I took the album home and listened to it and hated it.
I was not expecting that.
You were not expecting that. And neither was I, because I'd spent good money on that.
Yeah.
And because I'd spent good money on that, a couple of months later, I thought, I'm going to listen to this bastard again.
Yeah.
I listened to it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And that became a common theme with pretty much everything that the Wild Hearts ever released. I listen and go like, ugh, this isn't very good. And then I give it another go like, oh, this is amazing! Yeah. It's the best thing the Wild Hearts have ever done! And that just seemed to be, I had this weird relationship I had with their music, of just not liking it and then loving it, and then continuing to actually really rather like it.
Yes.
As time went on. And I go back, because you listen to PHUQ or Earth vs. the Wild Hearts, even Endless Nameless, which is their quote-unquote difficult album, and I find something that I still really love about each one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, although I was getting into a lot of other bands at the time, I was very much getting into my full-on metal period. So talking about Machine Head and Fear Factory and Sepultura and things like that.
Yeah.
And also starting to eke into punk, because Therapy were a big deal for me as well.
Yeah.
And, Skunk Anansie and Terrorvision. Oh, I remember Terrorvision.
Tequila.
Oh, it makes me happy. But yeah, that's a kind of pop punk, but also some stuff with a bit more of an edge as well. That's very much my thing. But the Wild Hearts are always the ones that I think, these were the band of my teens.
Yes.
Those are the guys.
Yeah. Obviously, throughout your teens and encroaching into adulthood, you have good days and you have bad days.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I feel a subtle segue here.
Yeah.
Oh, where's this going?
So when it hits a bad day, what's your go-to musical...
It depends on the nature of the bad day, to some extent.
Indeed.
I have found that if people have just been irritating me a lot, and I'm a bit more kind of angry, then 99 Problems by Jay-Z does the ticket.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work for if I'm feeling depressed.
No.
And sometimes, if I'm really kind of feeling depressed, sometimes I do need to wallow a bit.
Yeah.
So something a bit more depressive, maybe even like the Smiths or something like that, will do the ticket. But there is one tune that fits all bills.
Ooh, like a duck.
Yes. and it is Just Abandon Myself by Boris. It's about 18 minutes long.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, which is short for a Boris Drat.
Yeah.
For some Boris Drat.
It's like Decembrists, the Tane.
Yeah. It starts off as kind of a sludge rock thing, so it's a lot of riffs, a lot of distortion, a lot of shouting, and a lot of drums, very, very active drums.
Yeah.
So you get that big cathartic thing going on. But then it kind of, the vocals die away. The drum pattern completely changes after about 5 minutes or so and drops into kind of slightly funky kind of thing, which is unexpected. But then that starts to die away.
Yeah.
And all you're left with after about 7 minutes is just an enormous wall of feedback.
Okay.
So it's just huge guitars and then this rough kind of... and just occasional little moments of percussion and maybe a little twang of a guitar, but just mainly just this great big riff echoing into the infinite, and even that just starts to fall apart.
Yeah,
and you just, it's like you're left facing into the abyss. And by the time you get to the end of it, you've almost forgotten how to walk. Never mind what has been bothering you.
Yeah.
I think of this track as Head Cleaner.
Yes.
I mean, because that, to me, is literally what it is.
Like those old cassette things that you used to get where you just, like, a roll of sticky tape.
But literally for your head.
Yeah.
you put it on and it just... It lulls you in with a familiar kind of... This is a rock song. I like rock songs. Marvellous. Yeah. But then it tears everything down piece by piece until all you're left with is the very core of the universe.
Wow.
And even that just eventually fades away and dies. And it's hard to really be too bothered by anything after that.
Yeah. Well, as we all know, the core of the universe is essentially white noise.
Mm.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah. That's brilliant. So, obviously, when you've had a bad day and you need that...
Yeah.
Conversely, when you've had a good day, what do you go for?
What do I go for? Well, as far as musical themes go, I tend to like pop punk, indie pop, cheerful, happy, kind of jingly jangly, yay kind of things.
I know your love of things like Shonen Knife and Standard Fare and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is exactly the kind of thing. But again, there's one tune.
Yeah.
That never fails to really put the cherry on top of that lovely cake of a good day.
Yes.
And that is Donkey Rhubarb by Aphex Twin.
Wonderfully named.
I know. Just the name makes you smile. Donkey Rhubarb. Hello, Donkey Rhubarb here.
However, knowing Aphex Twin as I do...
it's for an Aphex Twin track, it is incredibly straightforward.
Yeah.
I mean, it does drop into a bit of a weird, squelchy, dark moment right at the end.
Yep.
But the most part, it's steel drum and squelching.
Nice.
So it's got this lovely little squelchy, bouncy kind of rhythm. And it's got this little kind of steel drum sound going through. And then a little jingly, jangly, going like a glockenspiel kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
It's such a pretty song.
Nice.
It was used on an advert... back in the early noughties, I think, for Compaq. I think it was Compaq. It had a little animated bird going along. And basically, if you can imagine the kind of noise a tiny little animated bird would do while it's walking along investigating things, that's exactly what this fucking song sounds like. And if you can imagine a tiny little animated bird going along investigating things, and that doesn't make you happier,
yes,
then what kind of fucking person are you?
Tory.
Oh, there you go, fair play. Yes, so yeah.
Sorry.
Donkey Rhubarb is my tiny little animated bird investigating things of my life.
And make a little tiny little bluebird investigating things in your soul.
Exactly. Let's put too fine a point on it.
So, this will be the only bee in your bonnet.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a nice segue, actually,
thank you.
John.
Thank you. In terms of all these things that you sort of currently go to and things that you have gone to and things that you've been drawn to and drawn away from and all sorts of things, all of the poor sort of gesticulation things that you can do.
Yes.
What is the last thing that you heard that you've properly loved, you know, really taken into your heart?
As well you know, and as well Mr. Matthew Tyra has mocked,
yes,
I do like a bit of a dig around in Bandcamp.
Oh, yes, you do.
Because they do this kind of blog thing where they kind of condense a lot of the new releases or notable releases and artists. Okay. And every now and then at a weekend, I'll go through some of the ones that appeal to me.
Mm.
I'll just have a little listen, see what's going on. So I do listen to a lot of new and interesting, unusual stuff.
Yeah.
Like some slightly obscure artists and like that. And that's my bag. I love that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that I listen to which would fit this bill. But there's one that I unfortunately had to leave out.
Yeah.
That I would like to actually revisit properly another episode because I loved them so much.
That's fine.
And that is Charan Porantan. There is an album that they released. I think it's kind of like a, almost like a best of, like a primer.
Yeah.
They're a Japanese duo, two women. One plays accordion. The other one has a stuffed pig. and
this episode has been wonderful for sentences I was not expecting. Yes.
But there's a wonderful kind of eclecticism to them because the album that I've got is called Rose Balkan.
Yeah.
And it's got basically a picture of the two of them in very colourful clothes.
Yeah.
And one of them's got the accordion. They're both looking very serious as a stuffed pig. And but they're obviously two serious musicians, but very silly people. Yeah. I think is the truth of it.
Yeah.
There's a video on YouTube of them performing various bits of music from the Super Mario games.
Right.
One on the accordion, the other one just making noises with her mouth.
Right.
Which is absolutely joyous. Joy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do kind of Balkan accordion music. They do almost like a 50s or 60s pop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They do just all kinds of absolutely joyous music, and I can't help but smile when I listen to them.
Yeah.
So I would like to actually, if we did an album swap at some point in the future, expect Rose Balkan in your future.
Right.
But that they are very much the these are the new band that I've fallen completely in love with.
Fair enough. They are on Spotify. I'm just finding.
I know.
Yeah.
I recommended because Matt came to me one night and said, what's something new that I can listen to? And I discovered Charan Porantan that week.
Yes.
So, yes, I think he's probably listened to a bit of it himself already.
I mean, I'm having trouble locating Rose Balkan.
Yeah, I don't think Rose Balkan is on there, which makes me wonder if it is actually kind of like a compilation album. It's on Bandcamp.
Because all of their albums on Spotify, they're all written in...
And they all have Japanese names.
They do, yes.
Yeah, again, that doesn't surprise me. So, well, I think, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
but yeah, I think that there's a label whose name escapes me who actually used Bandcamp to distribute a lot of kind of Japanese music in other countries as well.
Western audiences.
Yeah, so, basically. Yeah, yeah. So they do some albums that are like a primer.
Yes.
Of an established artist in Japan.
Yeah.
Here is some of the music you might like to listen to. Gotcha. If you enjoyed this, I want to listen to some other things. So I think Rose Balkan is kind of like that, a primer for Western audiences.
Okay.
And it's bloody brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I like I said, I mean, I've hunted them down, so I will... on Spotify, not literally.
don't literally hunt them
don't
down.
Don't literally hunt them down.
What will the stuffed pig do?
Avenge their deaths. this got dark.
It
really
did,
quickly.
Didn't it?
Yeah,
very quickly.
So, in order to rescue myself from the darkness, not the band. So, out of all of the things that you've discussed in all of the important questions, which is the one thing that you would pick out of all of them?
I'd say. Out of all of them, probably Human Nature by Gary Clayle.
Wow.
No.
I'm going to be hunting that down as well. Because the only song called Human Nature that I can think of is the one by Michael Jackson.
It's not that.
It's not that.
It's very much not that.
Yeah.
No, probably actually. Probably actually just Abandon Myself by Boris.
Yeah.
Because firstly, it gives you the best value for money. Ding ding ding! It's the longest tune.
18 minutes.
Whee! But it is for the 6 or 7 minutes that it's actually a proper tune. It's a fantastic tune. Yes. And that bit where Disney then just kind of drops into a bit more of a funky beat instead of just the thrashy. That is actually quite a magical change.
And it's
slowly just all everything starts to peel away over the next 10 minutes or so.
And I think there's a lot to be said for it being a cure-all as well.
Yes. It's kind of a panacea for all of life's ills.
Indeed.
I can't really imagine listening to it on a good day and it making the good day better. But I can definitely, if I had to have one of all of these to be with me as the only tune I can ever listen to again, I'd rather have the one that makes things better when they're bad than makes things better when they're already good.
Yes.
So,
because when they're already good, they're already good.
They're already good.
Indeed. Yeah. That's fair. That is fair. So this has been your audio phonography.
Yes, it has, hasn't it?
It has. How do you feel about the experience?
I enjoyed the experience, John. And I would recommend the experience to friends and family.
And future Gary. Guests. Yeah. And Gary. If any of our future guests are listening to this and wondering, then it's a good one to go for this.
It genuinely felt I've used the word cathartic already, but it actually felt looking back at my musical history
over your shoulder,
joy,
without bringing the mechanics too far into this.
I've
ruined it.
So
having ruined it, it's time to go for the end credits.
Yay! Woo.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
For the second time this season.
Woo! The music is by Attack of the Vapors. And the podcast is hosted by Audio.